Okay, I'll do it. Okay, captain people, fish swim to Irish turquoise bays, creeks camouflage for fish, a debt which nurtures. A map of West Cork on the wall, people camouflage here in the open mic. Young and old smile, talk to each other, get to know each other. Look at each other's faces right away. But map of saving memories. I remember a time alone, away from land and hunting skill, when fish were caught by brothers, and journeys to West Cork Islands, from beaches there we swam and paddled with extended family, had picnics, thought of adult life of our own, music and language. In the dark, fish swam, became used to our bait. Mom and the girls cooked fish. Afterwards, the massive cleanup in the holiday house under a vertical cliff of crescent.
Next we have Charles Clark.
Charles Clark by Samuel Beckett. I've been looking at this poem by Beckett, which I enjoyed enormously, but it impressed me in various ways. There's only four lines, because it is in French and in English, and there are considerable differences, I think. Je voudrais que mon amour meure, qu'il pleuve sur la cimetière et les ruelles que je vais. Pleurant celle qui crut m'aimer. I would like my love to die. I would like my love to die and the rain to be raining on the graveyard and on me walking the streets, mourning her who thought she loved me.
Thanks, Charles. Next we have Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Rad. Workshop. He was asked out, they left together. She may well have shared his umbrella. Two missed calls and a reminder about memory foam insoles and something or other on his pager. He ran some errands. She jogged. Memo slips. Phone credit. Ink. He grabbed a cab. She took a back seat. When he got to his pad, she was all ready inside. Sounds. Banging bones, clitter, clatter, twisting tongues, knitters, natter, receding wrongs, pitter, patter, laughing lungs, fitter and fatter. The incident at Sunset Ridge. Black Tom's asleep behind the hunting lodge. The noonday sun ensures he'll rarely budge. A skyward spring beyond the window ledge. He downs his prey, a flash of feral badge. You're smiling, but your shallow eyes begrudge. Desert my game? I doubt I'd keep that pledge. I stayed that day your bike went off the bridge and mewed until you felt my muzzle nudge. It's yours, so pluck it, stuff it in your fridge. I don't subscribe to what you still allege. I've heard it said you're very swift to judge a bloody murder by the privet hedge.
Thanks, James. Next we have Des Jordan.
I just called this one with nature. On the white slab you lay, and your hair looks so grey. I lay my hand on your breast, but no beat from your chest. What once gave me life, no load, no lie so still and so quiet.
Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Lord. It's called Oh God, America. Are you coming home for tea this time of the day, this year, when the weather has just started? Improving, revising the deeds of the sun? Now come on, tell me about your birth and subsequent life on the Stygian banks, officially ranking best in the world by the World Sun Rule. Natural born psychosis, I believe. Nothing on welfare, all for scrutiny. Walk your way and pay your duty. All in disarray, I believe. You're about to ask me. Morrison is joking at the brink of his grave. I kid you not. You agree? America, serve your purpose. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Now we have John McNally.
Three good ones. Thanks to Des, I found out what the name of the comic was. So here's the five-word poem that I should have read. The first one I wrote. It's called Floats. The death rattle gurgles from the bed. The hum of death hangs heavy in the dusty air. The brass telescope stands tarnishing against the wall, blind now to the spectacular show of the Ison comet. As it nears the sun, her moon cycle drags the tide off her beach. Now arid sand, skin dried out like seaweed in the heat. The longer tied to the earth, floated off to get tossed onto the sea wall. She floats away now, beyond the next wall. Something lighter from when I was moving house in July. It's called Slipping Up. Oh, where did I put my slippers? I'm sure I put them here. Every time I clean or move, things seem to disappear. Where did I put the milk and bread? Are they down behind the couch? I'll never get used to living in this maze of a house. But where did I put my slippers? I searched the place complete. And then with a frown, I look down and find them snugly on my feet. And a quick parody and a borrowed poem from Yeats, so apologies to Yeats. And it's called The Front Aisle of Mackie D's. I shall arise and go now, and go to Mackie D's. And have a cheeseburger there of horse and plastic made. 5 chicken nuggets as well as a dip for me. And I shall eat alone in the glare of the fluorescent shade. And I shall eat carefully, for ketchup comes dripping slow, dropping through the knots of beard where it bleaches, stains and stings. There are midnights full of sinners, skin of orange glow, stripy pants and trainers, and hoopy earrings. I will arise and go now, for always, night or day, taste the drying sauce lap around my lips, and I'll say, I return no more. Returning to the roadway, the processed meal provides no warmth on the sticky pavement's grey, and I feel it clogging my deep heart's core.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, John. And our last poet of the night is Rosie O'Regan.
Just two very short things in honour of yourself. The first one, I didn't write at all. I was just sitting, drinking coffee and smoking with a friend. Alma actually came out with it, and it's, what doesn't kill you? Maims, yes. And a short silly poem, I am an electric being. Plug into my socket and turn neon.
Ooh. And on that note, oh, the time soon. Right.
Since James insisted, this is something I read The Winter Warmer with Alrea Tear. It has to be read in Ovale, at least once. This is for my grandmother. It's called The Devil, Oblique Angles and Polka Dots. This blank white page, this lifeless thing, invokes you. My fingers tapping you from the dead. I see your holes shimmering beyond its margins, reminding me of a time all those years ago when I was 8 or 10 up at the outside and I was lost in the woods. How I cried and cried for you. What took you so long? When you finally found me, a snot and hiccup fearing fountain, not pretty. It was strange how you appeared, seemingly out of nowhere, haloed in spring beyond the green fog of young birches. Your sudden presence was not reassuring. Not at first. Why did you leave me? I had cried. All the while, you, unruffled, were approaching me. Shame on you, a big girl crying like a baby, and for no reason at all. Don't you know that God is watching over you, Dietushka? Aha, this is where I should invoke the devil. But perhaps there is no need. He's here, already, in the detail. Wearing your best navy polka dot dress. What else? The one you were buried in. The one you had kept shrouded when alive in a film of translucent tissue. How well I remember that day, me 6 years old and agog for the morbid. For hadn't you whispered to me, I'll tell you a secret, something you should know for when I'm dead. Of course I was disappointed. A dress? Is that all? Polka dots? What the devil, I should have, could have explained, but sure, I didn't know any better. But no, it is you, not the devil I see hovering beyond the margins of this page, appearing to me as you did that day in the woods, with light streaming off your left shoulder, oblique, aimless. The light, of course, not the shoulder, for the shoulder, even lopsided, knew where it was heading. Heaven was always your destination, as I knew only too well. And I knew, equally well, there was no place for me, astride the puffy white cloud, my nose buried your left in your soft breast, gleaning comfort from your old woman's smell. No, my place was in the woods, kneeling on a bed of sharp pine needles. Of course I hated that icon of yours, that dead-eyed, flat-faced Madonna, and her miniature child simpering at me in his nakedness, when all I wanted to do was sleep. But you, awake at the crack of dawn, genuflecting to them, praying all the night, while I hasten to thee, O master lover of mankind, by thy loving kindness I strive to do thy work. And oh, how you worked, digging the permafrost, building his canal, the one that went nowhere. Glory, glory, the revolution. And I pray to thee, help me, O God, at all times. Yeah, and did he ever? But maybe he did at that. What is it they say about God and burdens? Yes, he did help, after a fashion. By the time I knew you, your once dainty feet, he had magic to the size of a man, and your delicate hands to that of shovels. Oh, deliver me, O God, from every word of the evil thing and every impulse of the devil. Oh, here we come to the crux of it. We can never escape the devil. Yes, I fed him tasty morsels to do my bidding, unknowingly, I believe. I made him promises, rewards and such, without knowing I was doing any such thing. Like the time I cut my Barbie's hair for him. He liked her shorn, of course, her eyes, hands, more visibly dead. You see, the devil was honest that way, and a good teacher, too. No more worship for me at the altar of Barbie. And so when your item fell at this perch, it was his doing. So what if it was my rubber ball that hit the shelf where the item rested, Madonna and child no longer serene, above the burning flame? Sure, the devil always needs a helping hand.